Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
I'm Gene, here's Tim Swartz, and our guest today is Earl Grey Anderson. And his main position, as far as we're concerned, is MUFON State Director for Southern California, including Hollywood. You know, where they have that strike that maybe will be ended by the time that the show is heard. He's an executive member of MUFON's Experiencer Resource Team, which I presume includes dealing with people who are abducted by UFOs. And he tells me now that you have investigated, Earl, how many cases so far?
Well, right now I'm currently investigating my 1,002nd UFO case for MUFON. That doesn't include the cases, you know, there's a few cases I've done privately, and we didn't really keep track of the experiencer cases for a long time. It was sort of, in the ERT, we work more as kind of, oh, almost like civil servants, you know, to people that have had alien contact, because there really wasn't anything out there to support people. You know, whether people have a good experience or a bad experience, it still pulls the rug out from under you. People wind up with ontological shock, and there was really nowhere to send people. MUFON was really a lot about data gathering as far as the UFO phenomenon goes. But Kathleen Martin, who's the niece of Betty and Barney Hill.
A friend of ours also.
She's my mentor, and she lets me call her that. So I was able to get a hold of her, and, you know, I knew about MUFON's ERT, the Experiencer Resource Team. I met her for lunch just really to talk about, you know, I had a weird face-to-face contact with our visitors. It was 8 years and some pocket change ago. MUFON at that time was kind of more nuts and bolts UFO, you know, ufology. So when I went to her, it was really cathartic, and I found just a lot of relief, honestly, because it confused me. As a UFO investigator, I think my state director, it was the last thing he wanted to hear was that, you know, Earl met aliens, you know, it's like, oh, God. And he's, you know, I think, you know, he's kind of eye-rolling and stuff. And for me, you know, it was this life-changing catalyst. And who do you talk to about that? After speaking with Kathleen, I just felt like this weight lifted off of my shoulders just in speaking with somebody who was a non-judgmental listener. And I asked her after about an hour talk, you know, I thanked her and I said, you know, maybe I might want to join the ERT. How does one go about that? You know, can I get interviewed? Or she said, well, Earl, what do you think we've been doing for the last hour? Welcome to the ERT. She shakes my hand. And boom, there I was. I was an ERT member. And I kind of took to it like a fish to water. It seems to be my forte. I know that for some people, the UFO phenomena is sort of aliens doing air shows, right? But there's a personal element to it. And that's kind of what the ERT takes care of. It helps people that have gone through face-to-face ET contact. And again, you know, whether it's seemingly a malign contact episode or a benevolent one, people still wind up with something sort of like PTSD. Dr. John Mack called it ontological shock. And anyhow, I've been working with the ERT now for about 6 years, maybe 6.5 years. And I really love my work with the ERT. I love all my work with MUFON, and I just love the phenomenon itself, you know. But anyway, that's me.
Okay, now, let me ask you first, before we go on, if you want to mention, do you have a day job?
I worked as a nurse for 40 years. I wound up like most nurses that are hands-on do with pretty bad back problems. And my physician retired me 2 years ago. And at the time it was kind of, oh no, you know. Now it's like, well, thank God, because I don't know, I don't think I could be doing what I'm doing right now. I certainly couldn't be doing it if I had another job other than ufology. Full-time job for me now.
It can certainly take a lot of time indeed. Now, just to go into a couple of things here about your background, when did you first become interested in UFOs? When you had an experience?
No. We can go right into my origin story. It sounds like you want me to. I'm sort of a second-generation UFO person. My mom, when I was 5 years old, I was getting ready to go to kindergarten, like usual, and at the breakfast table. And my mom started talking to me like I was an adult, which was weird in itself. She wasn't really talking down to me or, you know, baby talking or anything like that. Now, we all knew that my mom was one of Howard Hughes's secretaries. This was known. It was a fact, and my family knew that. Her best friends, she had met them over at Hughes Aircraft or from the RAND Corporation, which during the 50s and I think up until 1961 was a subsidiary of Hughes. But we were living in Venice, California. This is back in 1963. Yeah, boomer. Yeah. Guilty as charged. And 5 years old, I always seem to have this propensity for E.T., for outer space, for, you know, space travel. Of course, I grew up in the days of the Mercury Project, Gemini, and Apollo. That was kind of my obsession as a child. But one of my earliest memories is climbing up on the swing set in the backyard, and we had monkey bars, and I'd be up there waving at the sky and singing. And my mom, like, was yelling out the kitchen window, "Who are you waving and singing to, Earl?" And I said, "I'm waving and singing to the space people, Mom." And I did that pretty often. You know, I'd go climb up the monkey bars, and I'd be up there singing and waving at the space people, apparently. So I think that my mom knew that there was something different about me, that there was some weird twist in there, that I knew that we weren't alone, intuitively, I guess. I can't remember a time in my life where I didn't believe in the others or the visitors. And so when I was five, my mom's, you know, we sat down at the breakfast table and she started talking about her job. She said, "Well, you know, son, you know, up until when you were born, I was working for Howard Hughes. But what people don't know about is that I had a very strange job." And she told me this story where she said that they took her out to the Great American Desert. Those were her words. I remember it. Thankfully, I have a very good memory. I don't know why, but I do. Kind of photographic. And she said, they took me out to the Great American Desert, and it was just me in a little security detail. She said that there was this shack, and it didn't look like much. She said it was just this concrete bunker. And she wondered why they took her out to the middle of the desert to look at a tractor or tools. That's what it looked like. It looked like a big tool shed or something. But it was all locked up. She said that they unlocked this thing and that at the back of this shack was an elevator. And she got into the elevator. At this point, she figured, oh, it must be some, you know, like a little underground facility. She figured it was maybe, you know, a floor or two down. She said that the elevator doors closed, that it was an Otis elevator like you'd find in a skyscraper, but this just went down.
We will continue with a downward elevator. Almost sounds like what Richard Schaefer would talk about with the Dero elevators. Don't know if you know what they are, or you would even want to learn.
Let's hear about that.
I will tell that story. very quickly before we get back to your elevator story. We have Earl, Jean, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
All across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Earl Gray Anderson joins us. He works with MUFON. He's one of their experiencer investigators and an experiencer. And we're going back to his introduction to UFO field, and he's mentioning his mom who worked for Howard Hughes, which is must be a story in itself. And she's taking this trip where she enters an Otis elevator going down. Now, the reason we mentioned that is the old Richard Shaver story about getting to the caverns where you would press the basement button twice to go down below the basement. That's the legend. I don't know how true that was. I knew Shaver. I don't know how true that was. Do you know who Richard Shaver was, Earl?
I've heard the name. I don't know him personally.
Well, that would be difficult because he died in 1975 or thereabouts. But of course, you never know. This is a strange world out there. So, and this is the Paracast, so strange things can happen. But seriously, he's a fellow who claimed that he was in touch with entities or beings who lived below the surface of the earth in caverns. And they were called Deros and Tiros, the Deros being the bad guys, Tiros being the good guys. So that's the story of Shaver. But I want to get back to your story. So, Earl, with that segue, which is probably meaningless unless you find one of those elevators, although I used kind of that idea for a sci-fi novel that my son and I wrote, but let's get back to your story. Your mom enters this elevator. Instead of going up like a proper Otis elevator should do, it goes down. Tell me more.
Well, she said that when she got into the elevator, that she thought it might go down a floor or two, and she said it just kept going down, and she felt scared. She felt vertigo. The word she used was that she felt butterflies in her stomach, that it went really fast, and it went down below the desert. She mentioned it went a mile down, and she said that the doors opened up, and it was her and these two security guys. And that when the doors opened up, there was a little city under the desert. Now, this was back in the early 1950s, like 1952, 53. I didn't get the exact date from her because the only time she told the full story, I was 5 years old. But she said that they would get around in little golf carts. And it was a city under the desert. That there were rocket scientists, and she mentioned Wernher von Braun. On a different occasion. You know, I would kind of pick stuff up from her over the years. We would be watching The Wonderful World of Disney, or Wonderful World of Color, it was called back then, because it was color TV, you know, and that was something new back in the early 60s. But Wernher von Braun would come on, and she would go, "That's my friend Wernher. He's a charming man," you know, and she talked about him sometimes, and she said that he used to call her Betty Grace, which was her first and middle name. Betty Grace, like one word, one name. So I guess that they were friends, obviously, if he had a pet name for her. But anyhow, she said that it was a city under the desert, that people stayed there long periods of time. She said that they had a couple cafes down there. They had a movie theater and a bowling alley. She mentioned that one cafe had little yellow umbrellas over the tables. And she laughed about that. And she sort of told a joke. She said, you know, she couldn't understand that. You don't need an umbrella in a cave. But anyhow, she mentioned this, and then she kind of framed the story for me by saying, "Oh, and by the way, son, alien life, intelligence in the universe is a real thing. It's not hypothetical." I don't think she used the word hypothetical, but she said that it was a real thing, that we already know this, and UFOs are real. And that was, and now it's time to go to school. I went to kindergarten. I did my normal day there, you know, in Venice, California. I think it was called Madrona Grammar School. And, you know, little kids, they have a large, a wide theater within themselves for magic realism, you know. And so it really didn't shock me. It was just my mom talking about her old job. And I didn't know that it was anything really out of the ordinary. That's just, you know, a five-year-old's purview of the universe and civilization. I didn't know. And she didn't bring it up again, but things would come up every now and then. But that's really, that was the spark and what really, you know, amplified my interest in the phenomena. It was when I was just 5 years old. Years went by. Mom wouldn't really, that was the only time that she purposefully talked about it and put a name to things. Flash forward here to fourth grade, living in Thousand Oaks, California. On Fridays we would have, show and tell, and they had a special one. It was like, talk about what does your father do, or what do your parents do, you know? And, I talked about my dad's landscaping business, and kids were sort of yawning. And so then, you know, I'm at the end of talking about my dad, and I said, but let me tell you about my mother. And oh my God, I guess that's where, I don't know, a lot of different troubles began. I told my class just what I told you, pretty much the same story, you know, except in a 10-year-old's language. And the other kids started teasing me, and they would do the little, like, bunny ears behind my head, but like my favorite Martian antennae, you know. And I think that the teacher felt like I was being teased, and that and she just wanted to know what was going on there. So she scheduled a parent-teacher conference with my mom. And I'll never forget this. It's just like I'll never forget sitting in our little kitchen, you know, yellow, bright, cheery kitchen, and hearing that story about what she did. She went and had her conference with my teacher, and she was driving me home from that. And she was very quiet, which was unlike her. Normally she would have said, if I'd done well in school, I would have heard about that. If I did bad in something, I would have heard about that. Just very quiet. And then my mom started talking, and she said, son, she said, first, before I say anything, I want you to know I'm not angry at you, because you had no idea that you did anything that was wrong. I never told you not to tell anybody about what I used to do and about, you know, my old job and UFOs. She said, but people don't know about that. And she said, and then she clammed up again, and she looks over at me. She's trying to drive, you know. She looks back at me, and she says, my God, you were just a baby. How did you remember that? And she, at that point, she said, son, you can't ever talk about that again, because people don't know about little cities under the desert. People don't know about UFOs and aliens. She said, your mom actually signed stuff to where I, you know, she said, I could get into trouble if you tell this story again. And then she said, I could go to prison. That's how serious this is. You can never talk about it again.
Before we talk about anything else again, let's get back with Earl, Gene, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. President Biden and the First Lady offered their condolences to the victims of the recent mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine this week. During their visit, they met with first responders, healthcare providers, and the affected families. The shooting at a bowling alley and restaurant resulted in the loss of 18 lives and injuries to 13 others. The Israel-Hamas conflict has entered its 29th day, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken, during his visit to Israel, called for a temporary ceasefire to secure the release of hostages. The death toll in the conflict has surpassed 10,000.
10,000 people. Additionally, there are plans to allow for more foreigners and injured civilians to leave Gaza by crossing the border into Egypt. Americans are preparing for the end of daylight saving time this weekend. On Sunday, clocks in most states across the U.S. will be set back 1 hour. While not everyone is pleased with this change, efforts to eliminate the time change through legislation in Congress have yet to make any progress. Skip Kelly, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So your mom, maybe she shouldn't have ever told you when you were 5 years old about any of this, because obviously it had ramifications. Or, as you say, maybe she figured you wouldn't remember anyway.
That's what she thought. I mean, that's what she told me. She said that she never would have told me, except she thought that I was so young that I'd never remember. And that, you know, I guess that she thought that she found a loophole around her NDAs that she had signed. But it was no loophole, because I told her story, you know, every little detail to a class of other 10-year-olds and an adult teacher. And so we got home, and that was all she said, you know. I mean, I don't know how much my father knew about my mom's work. He was a religious man. I don't think that he didn't really want to know. I think that he felt like ETs were not in his pantheon, you know. So that was sort of all that she spoke. But I don't know if this happened before or after, to tell you the truth. I think that the Look magazine came out around 1966. So it might have actually predated when we had the talk. But I heard my mom arguing with my aunt Mary. My cousins were visiting. We were playing Lost in Space, appropriately, in the backyard, you know. And we heard sort of an argument going on, so we snuck up to the screen door, and we were listening to what was going on. And my aunt brought over Look magazine that had a story about the Betty and Barney Hill case. And my aunt was asking my mom if my mom thought that was true or if it was made up. And my mom said, I think that from what I know, this sounds like this actually might have happened, Mary. It could have actually happened. And she's kind of laughing and sort of angry, too, my aunt was. You know, she said, well, how can that be? This is like bad science fiction. And My mom agreed and said, yes, but from what I know, this could have actually possibly happened. And I remember feeling the willies for the first time in my life. I kind of, you know, it seemed like the world just kind of came crashing down on me. Because my idea of alien life was the Great Gazoo from the Flintstones, you know? You know, I remember that my aunt read a part of the Look magazine article and it said that they had stuck a needle in Betty Hill's navel. And I had to ask my older cousin, what's a navel? What's a navel? And he said, shh, shh, it's a belly button. You know, shh, you know, we didn't want mom to know we were listening in. So, you know, I knew about this and it was always kind of this weird question mark that followed me around all my life. I was actually going to become a minister at one point. I was taking pre-seminary classes and teaching. I was a youth pastor at a church when I was a teenager. After being a rowdy teenager, I repented. I turned to Jesus, right? And I wasn't thinking about ETs anymore. I guess sort of like my dad, my pantheon didn't really include those guys. Well, I took my mom to see the movie Star Wars. She'd had a clean cancer screening. My mom, that's another thing. And I found out that a lot of the people that worked in the military in the dumbs, is what they call them, deep underground military bases. I've talked with Richard Souder about this. He's written a few books on the subject. And he said a lot of the people that worked in the early dumbs came down with all kinds of cancers, like they were irradiated somehow. I don't know if that's because, I mean, I'm sure they weren't on the grid. You have to operate a little city on something, and, you know, I don't think it was on the grid. So maybe they had a nuclear pile down there. I don't know, but she had a cancer screening that was, it came up clear. And so we were going to celebrate and we went to see Star Wars, brand new movie, just come out 2 days before. And it was before they had lines around the building. You know, people didn't really know about the film yet.
Well, you see, that's the difference. When my wife and I went to see Star Wars, we had to wait around the building, and she caught chicken pox from somebody there. It was not much fun, but we liked the film.
Oh,
anyway, tell us more.
Well, the curtains closed, and I think there might have been a few other people in the theater, but there weren't that many people in there, and my mom started talking again. At this point, I'm 19 years old, and she's telling me stuff that I really didn't want to hear. I mean, if I could have stuck my fingers in my ears and gone la la la, I would have done that, because it was an uncomfortable bit of knowledge. At that point, I mean, you know, I still consider myself a spiritual person, a Christian, actually. But I've, you know, it's been easy for me to expand my pantheon to include other life forms and no problem at all. Why would God just create humanity? Yeah, it's like the movie Contact. Ellie, the character in that film, said that would be a terrible waste of space. And I agree, you know. I don't think that we're the crown of creation by a long shot. But she's telling me details now. She was saying, son, you have no idea how close to the truth that movie is. The different beings, the different spacecraft, all of that. She said, that's really true, and it's really like that out there. But she emphasized, she said, son, they will never, ever tell the public this, not in a million years. And at that point, I was old enough to ask her stuff and come up with good questions. And I asked her, I said, well, why wouldn't they tell everybody? I mean, that's kind of one of the most important questions. If the answer is out there, why would they withhold that? And she told me, she said, they're afraid of how people will react, that they'll react badly. She mentioned the War of the Worlds radio broadcast and how people were sheltering in place and emptying bank accounts. And I think a couple people might have jumped out of windows, for God's sakes. And so she did mention that, and she just was very emphatic that she said it's realer than you will ever know. And that stuck with me. Realer than you will ever know. Because I felt like, well, how dare they? You know? I mean, we have a need to know, as just human beings, that we're not alone out there. That's an important bit of knowledge. So After that, you know, my mom, she wound up going back to work in the mid 70s. She worked at an employment agency, which she ran. But I noticed that it was mostly what she was doing was that she was sort of getting all the rocket scientists out to the various aerospace companies. I mean, her contracts were people like Northrop, Raytheon, you know, Rockwell International, Rocketdyne, Aerojet, etc. So that was kind of interesting. And also my mom was a computer expert, and she never had a PC, never had a PC at home, never even bought a computer. She just somewhere or another, she learned Locus and all the different computer languages that were out there. So I imagine that her original job was probably with computing. Since all this happened, since I've been a researcher myself, I've talked with a couple of people that mentioned at White Sands, New Mexico, that there's an underground base that was devoted to just banks and banks of computers. And I sometimes wonder if maybe that was possibly the same facility my mom was working out of. It makes sense. I don't have any proof of that. Could have just as easily been Area 51, or it could have been the anthill in Tehachapi. I know there's like a 20-level underground facility that's supposedly secret out there, but everybody knows about it. They call it Tejon Ranch. I'm not sure. She never did tell me where she worked. She didn't tell me how she knew that there was such a thing as aliens or UFOs. I kind of, you know, she just told me that there were, you know, that she knew through her work. So, long answer to your short question. That's how I became a UFO investigator.
Okay, so it was your mom's fault that you are what you are in the UFO field. We've got Earl, Jean, and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you love mysteries, you'll love these two books by Tim R. Swartz and Sean Castile. In Mimics, The Others Among Us, you'll learn about the strange beings that can look like us, but are not. In Alien Artifacts, Incredible Evidence of Exotic Material from UFO Encounters, you'll see the hard evidence of UFOs that has been ignored or even hidden. These books will definitely blow your mind, and both are now available on Amazon.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You see, we can always blame our parents for our foibles. I blame my brother for being involved in the UFO field. Not that he was an experiencer. I'm not even aware that he had any real interest in the subject. But one day when I was 11 years old, this is many thousands of years ago, I visited his home. He had an apartment in Brooklyn, New York, not far from where we lived, and we'd walk there, my mom and I. And we came to his apartment one day, waiting for him to come home from work. And my mother talked to his wife, and I sat on the couch. On the coffee table was a copy of Flying Saucers from Outer Space by Major Donald Kehoe.
Ooh.
It got me hooked. I read a bit of the book, noticed it was a library book, so I asked my brother's wife, Rose, can I borrow this book for a while? And she said, yes, you can, just return to the library. And I said, fine. But I thought to myself, why would the book be there anyway? And not then, but years later. Had it been read by my brother? Did he get it just for my benefit because he knew I was into sci-fi and space programs on TV? Why? He never evinced any other interest, but that book changed my life. That's my introduction. So you blame your mom. I blame my brother for what happened.
Blame is a harsh word. I mean, I love ufology. I love UFOs. It's my passion and my obsession. It's my joy. So I don't know if my mom would be horrified or thrilled that I'm out telling her secrets now. I mean, she spent a lifetime, you know, not telling people. I mean, it got to the point where, you know, I started asking pointed questions after Star Wars, you know. You know, what were you doing under the desert? What were you guys working on? I mean, did you actually meet aliens? She would do like the little Spock raised eyebrow, you know, perfectly, you know, just a blank expression, the raised eyebrow. She'd turn around and walk out of the room. She wouldn't even say, I can't talk about it. Later on, she would say, I can't talk about it. One time I asked her more, and she said, all right, I'll tell you one more thing about the little city under the desert. You were there. And I think I was maybe 21 years old when she said that. And, you know, it's like, well, what do you mean I was there? I wasn't born yet. And she said, oh, I was pregnant with you, and I worked up until you were born. So technically you were down there. You were in the underground city. that's some weird stuff I wound up. You know, I mean, all this stuff, it was just like this. It just seemed heavier and heavier the older I got. And the question mark, it was just like 50-foot tall question mark, you know. When she passed away, there was no golden ticket that was going to be coming to me again. You know, there was nobody to ask of these questions of. And that's when I heard about MUFON. I became sort of the easy chair ufologist, reading everything that I could get my hands on. Kehoe, you know, Hynek. Which is funny, you know. I mean, Paul Hynek is like one of my very closest buddies at this point. But his father's book was meant a lot to me. The scientific study of UFOs, you know, and that's what I do. That's MUFON's creed, is the scientific study of UFOs for the benefit of humanity. So I kept hearing and reading about MUFON, and I finally decided to join. And joining them wasn't enough for me, so I became a field investigator. I took the test. I passed it with flying colors. And the next thing you knew, you know, I was getting cases of my own. And I love it. I mean, I'm definitely a UFO obsessive.
It has to be gratifying for you, though, growing up, hearing these stories from your mom, and I know at, you know, at that point, the whole concept of underground military bases, dumps, possibly with the exception of the one that's out in, I think it's Colorado.
Dulce.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about the great big one that is built right inside of a mountain, and it's been featured in a number of movies. But anyway, I'm digressing here. But now, thanks to people like Richard Sauter and others, we have a lot more, you know, knowledge about these facilities. And here you were hearing about it years before that. And it just probably helps confirm to you that your mom just wasn't telling you a bunch of tall tales.
Nobody knew about this stuff back then.
Yeah.
This is 1963. It's before the Beatles hit, you know?
Well, very shortly before the Beatles hit. And we're coming, by the way, the show on the weekend where they release what is supposed to be the final Beatles recording, Now and Then.
It's out now?
Yes, it is. And it's used AI technology, machine learning, to recover John Lennon's voice from a very flawed cassette. So it had John Lennon's voice, a piano, some TV in the background, and a 60 hertz hum, which I heard the recording. And they used this technology to separate his voice from all that, so it would be on a separate channel so they could build a whole song around it. Anyway, let's continue.
We can talk about the Beatles. That's my other obsession. It's a beautiful song. If anybody out there in radio land hasn't heard it yet, it's on all the streaming services, and you can find it on YouTube now. They did a beautiful job, and thank you, Peter Jackson, for your AI technology. And God, I wonder if we got that from Roswell or something. I mean, you know how technology kind of took an uptick and an uptick. Turn, you know, I mean, Philip Corso, some of the stuff that he says is pretty wild, but I don't know. I mean, from the things my mom said, that kind of aligns with the stuff that he talked about.
I have my severe problems with him. Unfortunately, he's not around to talk about it. Now, I don't know whether it's because Bill Burns did a lot of changing of the text of the day after Roswell.
He did.
The problem I have, of course he did. Of course, Bill Burns is someone we've known on the PowerCast for a number of years, not recently.
Very nice person. I like Bill. You know, I've been on a panel with him before, but he did take some liberties, apparently. From what I heard from Paula Harris, actually, she said that Corso said that you can throw out the first two chapters of The Day After Roswell, and then the rest of the book is pretty close to reality, but the first two chapters are probably the most interesting, and I guess that Bill Burns took some liberties there.
I had problems with the stories
that he allegedly was the bag man to deliver Roswell technology to private industry, because if he was, what inventions he mentioned have well-defined historical patterns of their inventions? The technology was not something that had to come from E.T. or some outside source. So if he really did what he claimed to have done, that wasn't what he used to do it with.
Mm. I wonder if maybe, you know, we were already interested in that stuff. We were heading that direction, and maybe it just kind of gave us a little foot up, you know, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I never got to meet Phil Corso. Paola did. You know, she felt that he was a good source, but I don't know. I can't speak truth to power here because I never met the man myself. So.
I hate to interrupt, but I'm trying to move this along. Okay, I did meet Paula Harris a few times. We had her on the Paracast once, and by the time we were at the tail end of the show, we were about to hang up on each other.
Oh!
We talked to her about a couple of things, and she was telling us what kind of reporter she was about UFO lore, and she had once said that the one-armed man case.
Oh,
I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know you. Schneider, right. You're talking about?
No, yeah. Not Schneider, no. No. Oh.
The Swiss one-armed man.
Yes.
Oh! Yeah, we won't mention names. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, it's
right.
Very questionable.
Very questionable, and we actually had an interview that one of our announcers, our staff announcer, did, where he interviewed Billy Meyer. We'll get to that in a moment because we've got so much more to talk about with Earl Grey. Yeah, but we'll get into that in a moment here. We've got Tim, Earl, and Gene. You're in
the Pedicast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
It's obvious the unthinkable is happening. With all the recent media distractions, most folks never saw it coming. But a few did. Their guts told them something very wrong was going on. And now the headlines are proving them right. The people in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. Folks are investing in emergency food storage, and you should too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells biomass stoves, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, gravity-powered water filters, heirloom seeds, and survival gear that may come in handy soon. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.